Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. Today, we've got something different for you. A surprise bonus episode before we jump into our next teaching series. And let me just tell you, we're not holding back. We're calling this one Hot Takes, Faith, and Culture. I'm going to tackle some of those statements people throw around about churches. Things like, church is too long, or you don't need church to be a Christian. Then we'll take a look at what's going on in the world through the lens of Scripture. And finally, we're going to dive deep into something so many of you have experienced, church hurt. It's going to be raw, it's going to be real, and it might just bring some healing. So let's get into it.
Translation. This is the you might get uncomfortable episode, but hey, that's what unfiltered means, right?
Exactly. So lean in because we are going there today.
All right, let's kick off with some hot takes. I'll read them and we'll each respond.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. First one, church is too long. What do you say, Crystal?
Well, you know, that's funny because nobody complains about a 3-hour concert.
Right.
Nobody checks their watch during the Super Bowl. So people will sit in a recliner for hours, binging an entire Netflix season in one sitting.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Yeah.
But when it comes to spending time in the presence of God, suddenly an hour and a half is unbearable. What that tells me is it's not about time. It's about appetite. What are we hungry for? What do we value?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think of Psalm 84:10, which says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
So good.
David's heart posture was, God, I could be anywhere in the world, but one day in your presence is better than 1,000 anywhere else. But we've reversed it. Yeah. We'll take 1,000 elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I'd say if you feel like this, you're doing it wrong.
Absolutely.
Like, you should be, I pre-worship. Like, I like to, like, start my worship while I'm getting ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I get there, and are you worshiping during worship? Are
right.
you?
True.
Or are you just, like, standing there and, like, singing the words in your head? You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, just, and ask God.
Right.
Lead me. Let me get something, a revelation from this.
Yeah, so good. And let's be honest. Sometimes the issue isn't just people. Sometimes church services are dry because we've programmed God right out of them. So we're focused on getting things under 60 minutes, making it neat and polished for live stream. So that's what the church is focusing on. And while you're sitting there, some of us are looking at the clock saying it's almost lunchtime, right?
Yeah.
Revival doesn't run on a clock. When the Spirit shows up, sometimes it's messy, long, but that's where the breakthrough happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So anything to add before we move on to hot topic two?
No.
Nope.
All right. So. Second one. You don't need church to be a Christian.
All right, this one's tricky because technically it's true. Right. Your salvation is in Christ alone, but we were never designed to live in isolation. You can't find one example in the New Testament of a believer who thrived and disconnected from the body.
Right.
The entire book of Acts is about the church coming together, and Hebrews 10 verse 25 literally warns us, do not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Why? Because isolation breeds deception. Alone, you become an easier target for the enemy. And I know that personally, I was going to church a lot and I felt like I loved Jesus a lot, but I didn't really start becoming sanctified and more holy until I met you guys and we started like doing life together all the time.
Yep.
If there's like an accountability there, there's somebody to sort of lead you.
Yeah.
And then you don't feel like alone, you know, because you sometimes it's hard to get away from the things that the world does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, you know, I don't drink. I quit that like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm fine. But years ago, I might have like not gone places where people were drinking to stay away from it. Like, I don't even have to think about that
right.
with you guys.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to indulge in things that are going to like tempt me, you know, to be that. And I just think that the Christian community is the number one way to grow as a follower of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean you have to go to a church with thousands.
Yeah.
We have a small Bible study and we do life together.
Yeah.
And that helps. I think that keeps us all accountable.
Yep. Yes.
Right. And in the word, you know, we're in it at least daily, if not more often. So I think that's great. And it gives less time for the Satan to be putting thoughts in our head. Right.
That's
right.
True. You know, that's true. And we can do an illustration. So think of it like this, a coal pulled out of the fire burns out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But together, the fire stays strong.
Yeah.
That's why Paul calls us a, quote, body. In 1 Corinthians 12, a hand can't function apart from the arm, and the arm can't function without the body. But that's what a lot of people are trying to do, be a hand by themselves, scrolling sermons online with no accountability, no discipleship, no service. That's not church, that's consumerism.
That's right. But service is so much better when you do it with people you love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when we serve the homeless shelter, like no matter what, like if I'm feeling tired, I'm not feeling great, like I get there and you guys are there, I'm immediately energized. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, serving the Lord, it feels good. But it gets you to the place because you're like, I get to see these people I love.
It's also, we talked about it in last week's podcast, is the gratitude.
Right.
You go there specifically, like the homeless shelter, and you see the gratitude of the people, and mm-hmm. immediately your mm-hmm. heart's just like, okay, all right, Lord, yeah, you know, maybe I didn't really want to come tonight because I was tired, or
sometime,
I had a long
yeah.
day. But seeing the gratitude, and it just opened your heart, and the Lord's like, and this is why you're here.
Yep.
So all to say it plain, you can believe in Jesus outside the church, but we are the church.
Okay? Right.
We don't want to get that twisted. We are the church. But you cannot grow into maturity outside of the church. And I mean, again, the body, the church.
Yeah.
I've seen it. People say it's just me and God. Mm-hmm. And 5 years later, they're stuck in the same pattern because nobody is sharpening them. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Try sharpening yourself. It doesn't work.
Right.
So that's why we need to be with each other.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
Okay. So hot topic number 3. Worship music is too modern, too old-fashioned, and I think we also have heard too loud. I know my dad just said, this music's too loud.
Oh, yeah.
So here's a spicy one. Is it too modern? Is it too old-fashioned? What do you guys have to say?
Well, people argue over worship styles like it's a salvation issue.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, some say it's not hymns, it's not holy. Others say if it doesn't sound like Elevation or Maverick City, I can't connect. Newsflash. God doesn't care about your playlist.
Sure.
He cares about your heart. King David danced so hard, he embarrassed himself. Paul and Silas sang hymns in a jail cell. The common denominator wasn't the style, it was the spirit.
So true.
Yes. John 4 verse 23 says, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So spirit and truth, not style and tempo. If your worship is dependent on whether it's your favorite song, then maybe you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping your preference.
That's good.
That I won't deny that, you know, it can be like a deeper experience when it's like a song that you really connect with.
Absolutely.
You know, like, but we just have to remember that worship is actually about God. And it's the only thing that we give to God, you know? And sometimes I think too, that was John MacArthur had warned against, like, don't just make worship though, like an emotional experience for yourself.
That's right.
You know? So yeah, it's great to have those and connect with God, but also like when it's a song you don't like, or it's a hymn or whatever, like we should be worshiping God, like just as hard, you know?
Not the idea of like worshiping worship itself.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I think sometimes that you do see that, unfortunately, you know, so you just got to be careful there.
Yeah.
And I'll take it a step further. The enemy loves when we all fight over style because it distracts us from the purpose. And mm-hmm. that purpose is for worship, bringing incense to the Lord, right?
Yeah,
that's it.
While we argue hymns over Hillsong, people are dying without hope. The style of music is not the hill to die on. Let's take the message of the gospel to the people and let's not argue over such silly things.
Right.
Right. All right, now this is a big topic here, y'all, this next one. And so it's interesting, and I had to kind of chuckle at our last Bible study when this was brought up, because nobody in our Bible study knows what this bonus was about. We were like, mm-hmm. No, keep it a secret, we're not gonna tell anybody.
Yeah.
But Lena brings up a topic, and I had to laugh. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna just share that's in our podcast, our bonus podcast, because I found it interesting. I don't think we talked about coincidences. There is no such thing.
No.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord's
yeah.
in everything, right? So when she brought up this podcast that she listened to, and it was about should pastors get paid? I'm like, oh, I can't believe she's bringing that up tonight. So I'm listening to that podcast, and I have to say, unfortunately, I did not get all the way through it because, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
But I'm about halfway through. It is a 3-hour podcast. At the end of this, I'll look it up and tell you what it is, because I do think everybody should listen to it. It's very interesting. And I don't get paid to tell you that. I should call them and say, hey, listen, I'm boasting your podcast, but no. But so here we are. So our hot take number four is, should pastors get paid or shouldn't they?
This one kind of gets me heated. You know, people expect pastors to study 40 hours a week, visit hospitals, counsel families, disciple leaders, preach every Sunday, manage staff, oversee budgets, and do it all for free. Now, meanwhile, those same people don't volunteer for nursery once a month. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, the worker deserves his wages. And Paul literally said, those who preach the gospel should receive the living from the gospel. Now, I could look at it this way. I'm a nurse. I go to work. Well, I don't, right now I'm a stay-at-home mom, but when I worked 32 plus hours a week.
Yeah.
You know? So that was my full-time job. Imagine someone's like, hey, Crystal, you love being a nurse. You just want to do it for free?
Yeah.
No, my time is valuable.
Right.
No, I'm not doing that for free. You're going to pay me.
Well, you don't want to be led by someone who is giving their leftovers.
That's right.
If the pastor of my church is working a full-time job.
That's right.
And then he's throwing together a sermon or whatever. I don't want that person leading me in God. He doesn't have time. And now no blame on him.
That's right.
Because you have to survive, you know?
That's right.
So,
we all have to have a living wage, right?
Yeah. I want my pastor to be paid. I want to be taught by somebody who has put time and care into the art
that's
of
right.
teaching.
That's right.
Are there abuses? Of course. Yes, that's wrong. But just because some pastors mishandled money doesn't mean that the biblical principle of honoring leaders goes away. Double honor means spiritual honor and material support. There's all kinds of stories in the Bible where God abundantly blesses leaders, yes. You know, King Solomon, so David. So it's just about remembering too that pastors are, they're people. Like
right.
They have to feed their families and just as much as we do. And also that the church is a business.
That's right.
You have to pay to keep the lights on and everything going. So you wouldn't tell a missionary, go serve the nations, but not expect us to support them.
That's true. Right.
So why would we say that to our pastors, like right. in our lives?
Yeah, that's true. And I know this podcast, Riley has my phone right now. Otherwise, I would tell you exactly what it is right now. But she's sitting here so quietly and holding it. So, Crystal, you're going to pull it up for me? Because we all have it in our group chat. So we'll get that out. But it does dive into this. And like I'm only halfway through it, there are some very interesting points that the gentleman brings up of why he believes that pastors shouldn't get paid. And then the other guy brings up why he should. And he doesn't say that you shouldn't, like, that you should honor him, right?
Yeah.
By that. But it is interesting. He's talking more about, like, the luxurious lifestyles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, at least so far. Again, I'm only halfway through, so don't, you know, don't go by that totally. But it's the Sean Ryan Show, episode number 233, and it's with Nathan Apfel, APFFEL. Go to that episode. It's very interesting. Again, I'm only halfway through, so I can't tell you how the last half is, but I think that podcast is referring to that. So let me just say, if pastors shouldn't be paid, why do people expect them to be available 24/7? And I said that last night.
Right.
Oh, you don't want me to get paid. No, I'm not a pastor. I'm just speaking as a person. If we're talking about a pastor, you don't want a pastor to get paid, but hey, let me call you at 2 a.m. My loved one's in the hospital.
Yeah.
So how about you come up and pray for them and all these things? If ministry is their full-time calling, they need provision. And the Bible is clear. And like you said, Amy, is clear about the church giving. And we are the church. We're the people.
Right.
Giving those provisions. Paul worked as a tent maker at times. Yes, that's true. But he also said churches robbed other churches by not supporting him.
Right.
So I think it made it very clear that Paul should have been paid. Back then, Avi was like, they were housing him, right? They were clothing him. They were feeding him. Okay. Well, it's the same thing. We're just giving him money and they're just getting it themselves, right?
Yeah.
Pastors pouring out deserve to be poured into. And I do agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Again, I don't agree with some of the luxurious lifestyles. I really don't.
Yeah.
Because in this particular podcast, he's giving stats and they found that literally less than 10% actually goes outside the church walls. Now was disheartening because we go, right? We don't have, I mean, our ministry, we go into the homeless shelters. No one's
right.
Providing. We're providing that.
Like, our time,
our resources,
our money.
You know what I'm saying? So we don't get paid to do that. We are not asking to be paid. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think he was referring to that's what pastors should want too. And they should.
Right.
Absolutely. I hope my pastor.
But we do it, you know, a couple times a month.
Correct.
They're doing it full time.
Exactly. Yes. And so, however, should they make more than me? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, that's a question people have to answer for themselves.
Right.
But they should at least be giving to what Jesus said. Jesus only said, and this guy refers to this, which I found so true. He only commanded us to a couple things. Go, make disciples, and then those disciples make disciples. He never said, go build a building, put people in it, make your expenditures hundreds of thousands, so that hundreds of thousands should be going to the people. And I thought, he has some very good points.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not going to tell about the whole podcast, but do look into it. It's very interesting.
And there's something, so I'm not going to say my pediatrician's name, but my husband and I, we have a pediatrician that we pay extra for. It's like a fee because my pediatrian is available to us 24/7.
Yeah.
That's a fee I'm willing to pay. When she's sick at 2 o'clock in the morning, I can message or like, he may not get back to me right away, but he's at least available. And that gives me some comfort. So of course I want my pastors.
Absolutely.
Paid.
Yeah.
They are available to you 24/7. They are there. And this is hopefully this is their heart. This is our calling. So yes, they should.
I think you should hit it, Amy, though, because there are just some, it's kind of like apples.
Yeah.
They always have some bad in the bushel, right?
Yeah.
Always. So all pastors don't squander the resources.
Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, you got a few that make them all look bad. And I think that's terrible that we've put them in that light and said, oh, well, we shouldn't pay any pastors. That's ridiculous.
It's funny that you bring up the pediatrician as your analogy, right? Because you're like, I pay extra money so that I can call her at 2 a.m. if I need
to. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm sitting here thinking, Layla's pediatrician is my sister. And I still would Google or something before I would reach out to her at 2 a.m.
Right.
So it's my own sister. And I'm like, oh, I don't really want to bother her.
Yeah.
So that's like people saying that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't even want to do it to my old sister. And these people want to do it to random pastors.
Right.
Like,
right. Exactly.
Like not paying
to me all week.
Yeah. Because,
you know, if I call you. And again, these are to responsive pastors, because there are some maybe who are not responsive.
Right.
Maybe that's why they're getting bad names. Maybe they don't reach out to people outside the church. That's on them. That's between them and the Lord, I think. So we shouldn't demonize all pastors.
No, not at all.
Wrong. So I think we can all agree that that's just a terrible, terrible position to put pastors in.
And I think you said, or Lena said last night that, and she was right, this is about transparency.
Absolutely.
Like, you need to have your books available and open for people to see.
And that's what this podcast gets into, okay? Because this is true, and I know this firsthand, 100%, 501(c) churches do not have to open their books.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think that is wrong on every single level. Every single level.
We are one,
and our books are open. If you come and you're part of this and you feed into our ministry, we're open to you. Absolutely. Okay. We don't care. There is nothing. Even if an outsider came and says, I think you're squandering money, there's nothing to hide there.
Yeah. No, my friend said the other day, he works at a restaurant. He was like, you should ask, you know, my boss if he would like to donate. Because I was saying when we go to the new shelter, we can bring like pizzas and stuff in. And he said, you know, you should ask because a lot of restaurants would donate just to be like, just get their name out there or whatever. And I was like, oh yeah, because we have a 501(c). Mm-hmm. And yet, like, so we could probably do that and give them the receipt or whatever, and they could get a text right off. And we haven't even done that. We've just been paying for our own stuff.
Right, absolutely.
Like, because, you know,
that's what the Lord's put on our heart.
Right, you know, that's what the Lord has put on our heart.
Absolutely. So, it's good.
Yeah.
All right, we could probably stay on that topic for a long time because there's a lot of deep-rooted church hurt around that subject. And I think, again, like you said, Lena hit it right. It is about transparency. It's not about it's like, what are you doing with the resources we've given you? I've heard pastors say that, basically people don't need to know all that because it's just inner stuff. And that's not true. Transparency is everything. We talked about it. Growing up in a Church of Christ church, they used to have it, and even the Catholic Church did it when I had a spout of my time in the Catholic Church. They'd have on the wall a board, and it had what we took and what our offerings were from last week. So when you come in the next Sunday, that amount's on that board for everybody to see. No, they didn't have on the board what we pay the pastor, what we do this. Okay, but you knew what the offerings were brought in that week before.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, you would get your bulletin. The whole, like, here's what we did. This is here's how we spent our money.
Yeah.
I think that should be a requirement of every 501(c). I don't care if you're a church, It is a requirement of other 501(c)s.
Yeah.
But churches are exempt, and I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just, I can sit on that soapbox a long time ago. Hot topic number 5. Christians are hypocrites. What do you say about that, y'all?
Well, I mean, I'll be the first to admit that we are, because we're human. The difference is we admit we need grace. Hypocrisy is real, but so is sanctification.
Yeah.
The church is messy because people are messy, but Jesus is perfect, and he is still working on us.
Yes, and you know, you always hear the analogy that the church is not a museum of saints, but a hospital for sinners.
Yes, sure.
So, which is so true, and if you expect perfection, you will be disappointed.
Always.
Yeah, always. Because, you know, and I've been church hurt a couple times, and you do get tempted where you're like, I'm not going to go to church again, you know? And then you're like, well, but I gotta.
Yep.
So, but you wouldn't stop going to the doctor because your patients are sick. So you go because you need healing. And this stereotype I like because it helps keep me accountable to not taking Jesus' name in vain and misrepresenting him.
Right.
I'm not perfect. I'm not going to say that I'm perfect by any means, but I am careful to, like, not do something where someone's going to be like, oh, but I thought she was a Christian. She did that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, what's, you know, Jesus in a bad light. You know,
right.
Are all Christians in a bad light? And we've all been guilty. I know I, you know, was getting a little testy with Best Buy yesterday. So Tony's like, you can skip. This is funny, but not funny. And I shouldn't even be sharing this because how horrible of me. But I'm going to confess right here. So I'm on the phone. And I'm talking to the Best Buy guy about a washer that we just bought in January for one of the rentals. And it's holding water. And it was two ordeals, 30 minutes plus each conversation. And by the time I'm having to talk the third time, my patience is running real thin. I mean, it was real thin, paper thin. And Tony's sitting in the seat next to me. I'm driving. It's on speakerphone. You can hear the whole thing. And he could tell I'm about to get angry with the guy. And he's talking to our son. Our son called in. Well, our son called my phone, and I just did one of those little, I'm on another call, said that. So Tony called him, and Tony could hear me getting a little testy. He says to my son, I got to hang up. He's basically had to listen so that he could keep
me. Babysit you.
He's got to keep me in quote check. And he's right, because he's looking at me, he's like, don't do me wrong. You know, I'm like, okay, just sit me down. This is just about a washer. But you know, my mind, 1,000 things are going on. I'm about to go, you know, I have things to do, and my time is valuable, just like we talked about earlier. But I need to reflect Christ always. And Christ, I never saw Jesus anywhere in that Bible being patient with people. He may put them in their place.
Yeah.
But he was very, he's a patient.
Yeah.
Our God
is
a very patient God, right?
Yes.
So we need to reflect.
Right.
So Lord, forgive me for yesterday.
Or too, like, somebody might think you're being, like, hypocritical, but then you do something, you're like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. And you, like, apologize or whatever it is. And so, you know, it's not, you're not perfect, but you got to make
good.
You got to make good of it, you know.
You
and people don't always see that transformation.
That's true. Well, because if somebody's seen you acting, like, it was just me and Tony in the car, right? So
right.
Tony saw it, he saw it, I'm like, okay, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
But let's say I was in public and I did something like that and walked away. But then decide, oh, that was terrible. I need to go back and apologize to that waiter or to whomever, right? The people that I just affected around me, the 20 people, didn't see that.
Right.
Ask for forgiveness. So they're thinking, wow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I see what you're saying there. I'm like,
just saw a moment of weakness, and we are people still, you know?
It's true.
Only Jesus is perfect.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of hypocrisy, though, lies in people who they call themselves Christian, but they live a worldly life.
Right.
They're Christians, but they're in the bar drinking, you know, on the weekend.
Totally.
But they're worshiping on Sunday. Or the Christians who, you know,
she's looking for her thoughts there. She doesn't want to say anything.
Where there's been no sanctification, you know.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
not a real relationship there.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
they're in Christian
but
in
they're
name
Christians.
Only.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They're Christians in name only, but they don't live.
Well,
life of a Christian, which makes Christians, which in general gives people a bad taste of Christians.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that is the same. Well, we just talked about pastors. There are pastors in name only.
Right.
And I've had some of those in my life. And I've experienced that.
We call
them pinos, right? No
different
than, you know. And so if we allow people to say, like, Christians in, how did you say that?
Pino.
No, Christians.
Christians in name only.
Yeah, in name only. Thank you. I lost my train of thought there. We can't, like, we're saying that about us. Well, pastors are no different. They're still Christians.
Right,
they're just
right.
pastors. So we yeah. have to give grace in both areas, right?
Right.
And know that.
But they are held a little more accountable.
Well, they are because yeah, they're right. True. Absolutely.
Yeah, a little more accountable than we are.
Well, that's right. biblical.
Yeah.
That's biblical. So we've got to recognize that as well. And here's the hard truth. Sometimes people call Christians hypocrites as an excuse to reject accountability.
Yeah.
They say, I don't go to church because of all the hypocrites, right? But they still go to work, even though hypocrites are there too.
That's true. Right.
They still go to the restaurant, and even though there are rude and hypocrites there too, hypocrisy is a weak excuse to stay in sin. Don't reject Jesus because of Judas.
Oh, right? That's good.
Right.
Unfortunately. All right, let's shift gears. Faith and culture. Here's a big question. How should Christians respond to the chaos and confusion in the world right now? Let's talk identity, morality, truth, all the things being redefined by culture.
Honestly, the world has lost its ever-loving mind.
Yeah, a little.
Geez, things that used to be common sense are now controversial.
Right.
Truth is where you, quote, like, feel it is. Mm-hmm. And if you dare say otherwise, you get labeled hateful or intolerant. Isaiah 5:20 warned us, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. And unfortunately, that's where we are today.
It's true.
Yeah. But here's the balance. We can't just shout truth and then forget about grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. He didn't compromise truth to make people comfortable, but he also didn't weaponize it to destroy right. people who are already broken.
So true.
Like, think about the woman caught in adultery. He didn't excuse her sin, but he also didn't stone her. And he said, go and sin no more. And that's kind of the tension that we have to live in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's true. And here's where I think the church has failed. Sometimes we've been silent, and we should have spoken up.
Yeah.
And I think that's happened daily.
Yeah.
Other times we've been cruel when we should have been compassionate.
Yeah.
Both are sins. The culture doesn't need a silent church, and it doesn't need a screaming church or exactly. a hateful church. We need a bold church that speaks the truth wrapped in love like Jesus.
Yeah. yeah.
Which means that some of us need to stop being scared of cancel culture.
That's right.
If you're more afraid of being unfollowed than being unfaithful to Christ, you're already compromised.
That's true.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John 15:19, if you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, and that is why the world hates you.
Yeah.
Being disliked for standing on truth is part of following him.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we can't forget that people aren't the enemy. Culture wars make it feel like certain groups are the enemy.
Yeah.
But Ephesians 6:12 reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. The enemy is Satan. People are just captives, and we have to fight for them and not against them.
That's good.
That's true. Yeah. Culture shifting, but God's word is unshakable and never changing, right? And if the church doesn't anchor in that, we're drifting right along with the tide. So now let's go deep. Again, church hurt. For so many people, this is the reason why they walk away. It's because of betrayal, abuse, manipulation, judgment. And sometimes, and some of you listening, this is your story. I know it's part of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be real. Like, some of the meanest, most judgmental people were church closed on Sunday.
Right.
We've seen it. Gossip from the pews, leaders abusing authority, entire churches covering up sin to protect reputations. Like, no wonder people leave, and no wonder they call Christians hypocrites.
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes, I mean, I don't blame them.
That's right.
Right. But here's the danger. The enemy loves to use church hurt to isolate them. Mm-hmm. And like we said earlier, you know, how many times have you been hurt church hurt and you're like, I'm not going back to church.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I always end up going back to church, but.
Me too. It may be a different church.
It's a different church usually,
but,
yeah. You
know.
But here's the danger. The enemy loves to use church hurt to isolate us. If Satan can get you to confuse the failures of people with the faithfulness of Jesus, he wins. But Jesus never lied to you. Jesus never abandoned you. He never abused you. People did that.
Yeah, and I'll go a little further. Some churches have done real damage.
Mm-hmm. Covering up abuse, silencing victims, mm-hmm. manipulating scripture to control people. That's mm-hmm. pure wicked and evil. Mm-hmm. And if this happened to you, hear me, that was definitely not Jesus. That was sin. Right. That was a man or a woman. Don't run from Christ because of Judas. Healing starts when you separate who he is from what they did. And I can't say this enough because I know loved ones of mine who will not walk into a church.
Right.
Because of crazy stuff like this.
Yeah.
Or who's like, calls the word hypocrite, you know, so they don't even say they're Christian today.
Charlatan.
Yeah, exactly. The word charlatan's been used as well. So keep that in mind.
Sadly, I think, I found you guys at a really small church, which was awesome.
Yeah,
Because of you guys. But after years of church hurt, the reason I go to what could be considered a mega church is because there is a part of me that's like, I don't want to keep moving churches, so I would just rather not personally know any of the pastors or anything. Like, right. I just kind of want to, like,
get that and go
home. Yeah, well, which is...
Right, and you're taking teens and stuff like that. I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, mm-hmm. I've served so much in my walk. I've served at all the churches, and so you do get close to people, and they do hurt you, so you do.
Yeah.
Like right now, I'm very comfortable going to a church, listening to the sermon, but we have our Bible study, so for me, that is church.
Right.
Our Tuesday nights right. is church for us,
and
obviously,
we serve
right?
outside
and
of
we
the
serve
church.
Outside of the church because the church is us. We are the church.
Yeah.
Church is not a building. I think, again, you know, as we talk about this, a lot of this is we're talking about the actual building, the people inside those churches, who is the church, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then, but healing does take forgiveness.
Yeah.
So let's define that. Forgiveness doesn't mean what they did was okay. It doesn't mean you put yourself back under toxic leadership. It means you're not letting bitterness chain you for the rest of your life. Colossians 3:13 says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." That's difficult.
Right.
But that's freedom.
So right. difficult.
And it also means finding safe, healthy community again.
Yep.
Don't throw away the entire body of Christ because of one or some bad experiences. If you get food poisoning at a restaurant, you would stop eating forever, right? You'd probably just stop eating at that place.
Right.
So the same is with church. You might need to find a different body, but you still need the body of Christ.
So true. Psalms 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Now that's a promise. And some of you listening, God is ready to begin that healing for you today. You've been hearing wounds from people, from church hurt, but Jesus wants to set you free today.
Yes.
We've hit some hard truths today, girls. Hot takes that challenge our excuses, culture chaos that demands our response, and the painful reality of church hurt. But through it all, one thing is unshakable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can
yes.
go to the bank on that one, I'll tell you.
Let me pray for anyone who is listening. Heavenly Father, I lift up our listeners to you, ourselves, our families, and we just ask for healing, for courage, for restoration, for forgiveness, and renewed hope that you give to us, Lord. Just cover everyone in your love and your grace, and let us feel your presence so deeply. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If this episode hit home, don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend who maybe walked away from the church. Let them know Jesus hasn't walked away from them, and he's ready with his arms wide open.
And thanks for hanging out with us for this bonus episode. As we are getting ready, the next 2 weeks will be bonus topics as well, because we're preparing for our next Bible study, which begins in October on the book of Revelation. We are looking forward to seeing what the Lord plans to reveal. So be sure to mark your calendars.
Until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus.
This is Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. We love you, and we'll see you next Thursday. God bless.